Welcome to CYC Podcast, Discussions on Child and Youth Care, episode number 137. I'm Wolfgang Vachon. This week is the fifth in our uploads from the 20th Canadian National CYC Conference held in Vancouver, British Columbia this past May. In today's episode, Maddie Hillman talks about transitions he has gone through as a CYC student, a muralist, a community citizen, practitioner, and now as a child and youth care educator. Maddie is a CYC instructor in the Human Services Program at Selkirk College in BC. He is also an incredible muralist. And during his talk, he references a beautiful mural that he made, which spells out CYC using spray paint. It's really, really lovely. I hope you enjoy his presentation, even without the visuals.
I just want to start by saying I'm really feeling something here. This is my third CYC conference in the last year, and you know I'm feeling community and unity and, dare I say, love even, and it feels great. Yeah, it feels wonderful. So isn't it weird how we feel we need to introduce ourselves after we've been introduced? So my name is Maddie Hillman. I'm just about to wrap up my second year as an instructor at Selkirk College. Selkirk College is in the West Kootenays on the traditional territory of the Sinaiks people. I'm also a lifelong artist, and I work in a variety of mediums, and my pieces take on various forms, but I really enjoy working on large-scale mural projects, as well as working with spray paint. It has this sort of forgiveness and instant gratification factor that most mediums don't have. So sometimes my work takes on a socio-political message, such as in this piece here. Other times it does not. But always it contains pieces, expressions of myself, pieces of my interests, my cultural affiliations, my social and regional milieu. So as such, I see a wonderful opportunity for creative expression and CYC education to enter together in a symbiotic relationship. I believe that arts-based practices can support the development of CYC praxis and vice versa. So this presentation briefly demonstrates this thought through the visual imagery of a graffiti-style painting that I use to illustrate my new learnings and reflections as a nascent educator. Ultimately, I'm interested in the integration of expressive arts into the CYC classroom and hope that this presentation provokes dialogue exploring this possibility. So we all start somewhere when exploring something new. We start a journey from a place of unknowing and move into a place of change. And this change that we undergo can be both represented through and supported by our creative process. Bethel and Foles have explored the use of arts in the social work classroom, and they nicely put it that the arts, as creative expression, offer opportunities to reimagine what we have previously known and identify the point at which change has occurred. So I certainly had my preconceived thoughts about what teaching at a college would be like. These were sketches of expectations, really. And I think this act of creating expectations and idealizations of something we really covet is normal. But I also see it as a real representation of privilege. The fact that I can want something, i.e. to teach at a college, get that thing, and then continue to have expectations about how it should play out and treat me is certainly a luxury. So I recognize that my social location contributes significantly to my professional experiences, and I really try and make this explicit in my practice. So having expectations, to me, represents privilege, but it is also an exercise in provoking disappointment. Just like when creating art in education, more than likely, you will, in short order, find out you're getting something different than what you expected. So Margaret Mitchell's the author of Gone with the Wind, and I love when she says that life is under no obligation to give us what we expect. So just to briefly touch on the tools that are in my teaching tool belt, I picture like a Batman teaching utility belt. I see all of you, my colleagues, as some of the best tools I can have to draw on. Being a part of the BC Education Consortium has been wonderful, as well as the team at my college. I work with a group of wonderful wonderfully experienced educators from diverse fields, including disabilities, social work, counseling, early childhood education. And I truly believe that they bring these diverse perspectives to the issue of the day that I really learn a lot from. In regards to self-care, I'm just going to reference that previous slide about expectations when I say that letting go has turned out to be an enormously beneficial self-care practice. Letting go of expectations, and in some sense, letting go of what I can't control, which in a cohort of 30-plus unique souls is a lot, that's been really helpful. I think Dr. Jaspreet Ball said it best. Success requires a collaborative effort by both student and teacher, that what they bring to the course matters as much as what I do, and there is no guarantee that a lesson will be received as intended. Okay, and then there's theory, and I fill it up with theory. So maybe this goes without saying, but I do love academics. I knew early on in my educational journey that I found solace in the sort of abstract, theoretical, and sometimes pretentious discourses of the academy. And now here I am in it, and it's amazing. Like, I get to read new and old, and obviously everyone's in the room's research. I've read it all, you know? And I also love that I have the academic freedom, which can also be read as privilege, to bring the theories into the class that I see relevant. So graffiti as voice of the marginalized? Heck yes. Skateboarding as creative resistance to state control over our ever-shrinking public space? You better believe it. So if any of you have read my work, you know that I write and think about things that I'm interested in, which are usually aspects of youth culture that I have been or continue to relate to. But there needs to be some semblance of congruence to my pedagogy, an explicit thread that links the theory, practice, techniques, and experience of self that make up my approach to teaching. Perhaps this conglomerative knowledge is best held by a philosophy, an overarching statement about my values, beliefs, and approach to education. In regards to the painting, I spend a lot of time here picking an analogous color palette, blending back and forth, back and forth. So I've thought, wrote, and lamented a great deal about the challenges of teaching relationally in the confines of an academic institution. My wife, who is also an instructor in here today, can certainly attest to that. And I doubt that I'd be shedding much interesting new knowledge should I delve into those challenges with this group. Suffice to say that I find great disparity and incongruence between teaching relationally and staying within the structures and frameworks of an educational institution. But I also want to recognize that there is much that the institution offers. In fact, without a college, there would be no space or framework for students and teachers to meet and learn from each other. The physical environment would be much different. Maybe we'd be intense, and that would be cool. But there would be a lot less opportunity for professional development, and ultimately I would get to collaborate a lot less with some of the brilliant people I get to work with now. So in regards to the piece, the 3D rendering of the lettering in this section represents the support and bedrock that the college institution offers to my teaching and ultimately to the students' learning. But it can't simply be my voice throughout the lesson. It's been clearly identified that CYC has a diversity problem, and I recognize this and understand my responsibility to address this through quieting my voice and bringing others into the classroom. And I do this through the introduction and honoring of guest speakers. I strive to include not only those who've been mentors to me, usually experts in their field, but also colleagues from my early practice. I bring in youth, adult service users, because really, whose voice, thoughts, and opinions are more important to developing practitioners than the clients that they'll be serving. And then to represent this in this piece, I've blacked out the remaining free space to represent the importance of including other voices. I think we can all see that it really kind of makes it pop and sort of highlights that importance. So with these fundamental learnings in place, experiences and awareness under my belt in the last couple of years, I've been able to sort of tentatively move into a space of refining some of my teaching. I've taught most of my courses at least a couple times now, become familiar with the learning outcomes, And that gives me some, I don't know, confidence, I guess, to explore and implement finer pieces, maybe some sparkles or a bright highlight, and hopefully to just bring some life to the everyday instruction like this. Thank you. So, just like my students, my teaching is a journey of self-discovery and reflection. And for me, creativity in the form of art helps to create meaning to my process and to mark the change that's happening. Considering that we're all part of CYC Education, I've created a copy of this painting for you all that I'm going to hand out now. And I'm just going to show a stop motion of its creation. So, thank you.
This concludes this month's episode of CYC Podcast. Tune in next time for more discussions on child and youth care. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher. Visit us on our website at cycpodcast.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/cycpodcast.